Hey there. Welcome to the Flophouse. This is a podcast that's normally about bad movies, but today it's a Flophouse mini. That's right, it's a mini-sode. So when you look at the runtime and you're like, oh wow, did they mess up and not actually watch a movie? Well, kind of. I watched two movies, but we'll talk about that in a second. My name is Stuart Wellington. I'm one of the hosts of the Flophouse, and joining me are two great guys. Yep, they're my regular co-hosts, and they'll introduce themselves in a second. They are...
Jan McCoy.
And Elliot Kalin, picking up his cues a little faster.
Uh-huh. I'm just thinking about, like, no, I was just spending some time thinking about how I think all of us have the capability of starting the show, like really professionally for a while, and then it veers off the road pretty quickly.
Immediately.
Usually as soon as the others are brought in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I'm driving on a Mario Kart level, and I'm constantly thinking, that's the shortcut. That's the thing that's going to let me jump all over those idiots. Always wrong. I'm always in like a sand trap or I hit some kind of piranha plant. But yeah,
suddenly
cares?
A blue shell hits you. You're knocked off the course. Everyone passes you because the game itself cheats.
So,
take it down.
This is not a controversial or new opinion. Mario Kart 64, at least, is a game where if you're playing it just one player, if you get knocked off course, every other character will pass you. It's just the way the game do.
Wow.
Unlike real racing, when that never happens, but you know, in the real world, doesn't cheat against
you. Well, in real racing, the cars that are close to you will pass you. There's physics that they have to follow. Yeah, the real world doesn't cheat against you.
That's true. And it's also the distribution of blue shells and lightning bolts.
Let's not. Come on.
Well, no. The system cheats against you, Dan. But like physical reality does. It's not like a bear is suddenly going to pull a trick on you.
Gravity did some pretty shady stuff to me the other day.
Have you seen my testicles? Because gravity is not playing fair.
Yeah. On the subject of reality cheating against us, I don't know about you guys, but the last year has been pretty hard for me.
Okay.
I think it's been pretty hard for everybody,
too. I could do a bit where I argued that the last year was terrific, but I won't.
So the last year has been pretty hard.
A little thing called Queen's Gambit, maybe you forgot. Oh, best year ever.
My mistake, yeah. That was a thing. It made me realize that if I just took enough drugs and played enough chess on the ceiling, I would... I don't know.
That's the secret, is drug-induced upside-down ceiling chess. That's how you win, how you get through everything in life. Yeah.
The outfits and the set design was incredible on that program. But we're not talking about Queen's Gambit. We're going to be talking about other stuff today. And we're talking about how, at least in my professional life, my non-podcast professional life, I've been having a little bit of difficulty feeling like I'm in control. I don't know about you guys. I'm assuming a lot of people are going through this where you feel like you're at the whims of both a government, a pandemic that is horrible and still ongoing.
And your fellow humans who suddenly you realize are maybe more selfish and dumber than you thought.
Dan, Mr. Policeman, they gave you all the clues. That should not have come as a surprise, Dan.
That's true.
So, I don't know. I've been in what little free time I do have, I've been going to great lengths to find things that give me a sense of control and satisfaction. And one of those things has
been... Wait, is that why that helper monkey you have a psychic link with has been murdering your enemies?
Yes. And my enemies, weirdly enough, the list keeps growing.
Somehow it gets longer, yeah.
Yeah, that's a commentary on something.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's a commentary on how poorly discriminating monkeys are when it comes to varying levels of annoyance or obstacle irritation.
That's true.
Also, they don't have like great facial recognition for like one human versus another.
No, they all look the same to it. Yeah, we all look the same to them.
And it's also coupled with my poor drawing ability when I'm drawing my enemies on a piece of paper. Or a woolly willy. I've been playing video games. That's one of the ways that I've been able to get a little bit of control. And the video game lately, the thing that has given me the most satisfaction lately is a game called Hitman. Have you guys ever heard about Hitman? Have you played a Hitman game?
I'm familiar with the trailers for the movies in which Timothy Oliphant is bald.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, we'll get to that.
And I'm pretty sure I watched one of those movies, but perhaps for this podcast, I can't recall, but I remember nothing about it.
I can only assume that it's based on the Garth Ennis, Joel McRae comic series from DC Vertigo, Hitman.
Isn't that the one where the Hitman can read people's minds?
He has X-ray vision. I don't think he can read people's minds. Actually, it may not have been a Vertigo title, now that I think about it. Because it was in the DCU proper, in that he threw up on Batman's shoes and did all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, he's not.
I've confirmed that if I watched Hitman, it was not for this show, just in case you guys were worried that you also had lost some time.
Oh, no, I know I've never seen any of these movies. okay. Flophouse live show viewers may have seen one of my live performances where I really took down Hitman movies. Not that series, but movies about paid assassins, which I don't think are cool now that I am a grown-up.
Although, I mean, I feel like that topic and this topic are both in the public consciousness again now with the release of the sequel to The Hitman's Bodyguard. That's right, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Trailer just dropped today.
Are you riddled with guilt over your TBR pile?
Are you filled with shame about a book that you just can't seem to finish?
Are you having regrets because grad school killed your love of reading?
We're Reading Glasses, and we're here to help.
I'm Mallory.
And I'm Bria.
Let us absolve you of all your reading guilt.
Stuck on a book you don't like?
We'll help you dump it.
Can't figure out what to read next?
We'll recommend something in your wheelhouse.
Can't decide where to buy your books from?
We'll point you in the right direction.
No matter what you read or how you read it,
we'll help you do it better.
Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Macho Man to the top rope. The flying elbow, the cover. We've got a new champion.
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded, yeah.
I can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Saturdays on Maximum Fun. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
You know, I'm kind of, I feel like I'm the resident Flophouse gamer, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm an expert.
I would say, it's as far as I'm concerned, yes, you're an expert.
I mean, I could probably draw most of the maps of Bloodborne complete with enemy location and major key item drops, but that does that make me an expert? So,
you know, I was going to make a joke about you wasting your time, and then I thought about all the movies I watched. I mean, not just the number, the type. So continue.
That's true. So I had put off the Hitman franchise for a long time until recently. They just came out with the third in the like current arc of Hitman games, and a friend got it for me, and then that got me to go back and play Hitman from 2016. But I guess the series has been around since like 2000. There's been
the dawn of time.
Yep, the dawn of time. Hitman have existed forever. I feel like that sounds like a storyline from a Hitman movie. That's part of the opening crawl.
Is it Assassin's Creed? Is that the one where it's like a centuries long Assassin's Guild?
I believe so. I believe I started playing the first Assassin's Creed game, and I immediately began in the future entering a VR chamber, and I'm like, fuck this. I'm sure it's probably cool, but it was just at that point I was like, not for me.
It was also my school paper on Hitman. Uh-huh. Since the beginning of time, Hitman have killed for money. Is this accurate? I don't know if since the beginning of time.
Since the Big Bang. What was the Big Bang, but just the sound of the first gun shooting the first paid target?
And that gun sound? Bazinga.
that target, of course, was nothingness, the void.
So I had put off trying out these games because I don't know about, like, I'm assuming you don't know very much about it other than the trailer for the movie or pictures. It
kind of seems all bald, like, and they have barcodes on their necks, right?
It seems like a serious game about bald, besuited hitmen with barcodes on the back of their heads, and they're always carrying like twin nickel-plated 45s. Yeah. Like
they're just BBW, bald, besuited. What's that barcode about? That's what it stands for.
Yep, that's what it said. That's wow. Part of my Google search.
Weird that like they're two B's, but for the barcode one,
yeah,
because
circle around
because you're wondering the about back door. Because bald and besuited speak for themselves. But what's that barcode about? BBW.
Yeah, that's true.
But so seeing the ads always gave me the impression that they were going to be they're action games, and they're going to be like grim or maybe stealth based, but like definitely grim and maybe with like weird religious bullshit mixed in. You know, there's like crosses or cross like images and all the posters. But so I started playing the first Hitman game, and I got to tell you, it is not like that at all. It is very silly. There's almost no action. Anytime that I like pick up a fucking gun, it's a mistake. If I have to start shooting dudes, that is not the point of the game. Both because I'm bad at it, and also because almost immediately I get shot to death, which doesn't happen in the movies, as I'll talk about in a second.
No, the hero rarely gets shot to death in the movies, but I think that's
well, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
I mean.
Now, in the Hitman movies, Dan, but I guess in movies in general. I said rarely. I didn't say never.
Elliot's right.
We don't live in a world where Bonnie and Clyde is the totality of movies, because then what would I show my kids on movie night? I don't want to show them Bonnie and Clyde.
Why not?
It's a great movie, but they're not ready for it.
Yeah.
They don't need to know the truth about Melvin Purvis yet.
Yeah, you got to.
They can still keep playing as a hero.
You got to edge him on Cars movies until you want to give him the big climax.
I'll be like,
of Bonnie and Clyde.
You want to see another movie where people drive cars? It's called Bonnie and Clyde.
Like, not yet, Dad.
Not ready for it.
They turned out to be much sillier than I expected. They're mainly like, you're basically plopped in a level that's like a big kind of like sandboxy world. For instance, in the first level, you're at a Paris fashion show that is in a museum, and there's also an illegal like arms deal thing going on upstairs, okay?
And now when you say sandboxy, you mean like shovels, pails, kids' pee?
You can find shovels. There's probably kids' pee. Don't know about pails. I haven't gotten that far in the game yet. Now, I do have to say that I've only played the first of these games, although I bought the other two because I was very excited about it. So, and like almost immediately you run into a possible storyline where you can take out and then impersonate a world famous male model who is also a spy. And at that point, I'm like, this is not a serious, like, grim face game. So much of the game is based on knocking dudes out and taking their clothes. Every male character's clothes ought definitely fit you, which is, I mean, that's great. What a fantasy.
Yeah. What a fantasy to just be able to knock out anyone and take their clothes.
Speaking as someone who has to return some jeans that I ordered via the mail because I can't go to stores and they did not fit me, to know that the clothes will fit me ahead of time would be an exciting thing.
I got to let you know, Elliot, the Jenko brand, you can't return this anymore.
But I have to. Here's something I learned about
Elliot and Jenko, like the size of Elliot and Jenko, he would look like, you know, like one of those sorry board game pawns.
That's true.
Well, something I learned when I shopping for pants when I was a young man was that apparently there are two kinds of short people. There are three skinny short guys, and I'm one of them. And then there are hundreds and hundreds of very fat short men, because I would find all these pants where it was like a 29 leg and a 45 waist. And I'm like, I can't. How is this the only pant you have in the store? This is crazy.
I guess I'll have to invest in what, belts? What do you do, dude? Did you wear belts? Pillow in your pants?
Yeah, I just strap on my Norbit suit, put the pants on over that,
cool.
I think this
and
is,
go to work.
The place to start, you know, start pitching your idea for your, what is it, small and small store? I don't know. I was trying to think of the opposite of a big and tall.
Like, I mean, it's like a kid's store, Dan.
Yeah, I see.
Elliot is oddly quiet. I think he's looking up ways to burn us back for making fun of his love of Jenko jeans. So I started playing this game. I love it. It's so much fun. It's every episode is like a puzzle. I think one of the McElroys described them as like Tony Hawk, but for murder. And it's totally true. Like each level, you're trying to find new ways to murder your targets. personal favorite was when I think it really clicked for me when I found out I could push one target off a balcony and have them land on another target. It's amazing. It was so great.
Wait, did that kill them?
Yeah, because they fell like three stories.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I thought maybe it was just like you push them over their back, like shoving somebody in a prank.
And not to go too deep into spoiler territory, but of course, in order to accomplish that, I had to steal the fireworks display control so I could get them to sure. go outside to look at the fireworks display.
I love the idea that of an assassin's plan that hinges on the victim being interested in fireworks.
And having a remote control to set them off.
We haven't even gotten into the exploding golf ball yet, guys. But so I love this game so much. It's so much fun. I'm taking like it is you know, the one light in my life right now, plus my wife. I love you, Charlene. But
very much she's in a secondary position to the Hitman video game franchise.
I mean, that's the thing. She rarely brings exploding golf balls into my life or lets me kill somebody with an antique cannon or trick a target into thinking I'm the ghost of his dead mother and let me kill him with a plague doctor's knife.
Yeah.
So the love of these games led me down a dark path. And the other day,
you've started killing people for real, because to see if the joy brings over into the real life, it does not. You've felt nothing but guilt and sorrow since then.
You would think, Elliot, but that's not the case. I love it. I am. I'm only happier. I've started listening to a lot of Huey Lewis in the news. I watch myself in the mirror all the time.
Yeah, you bought a clear raincoat for some reason.
Yeah, some reason. Wink. I said that because, you know, it's not a visual medium podcast. So, the dark path I went down is, of course, watching the 2007 feature film Hitman starring Timothy Olyphant. Now, this movie is, I'm assuming, inspired by an earlier arc of the games before I started playing them. And I got to tell you, not a very good movie. Dan, I'm sure, watched it due to his love of Timothy Olyphant in action movies, and it's you do true. Not do remember a lick of it, right?
Olyphant. No, I mean it.
Don't lick your movies.
Yeah, I mean Olyphant like has so much charisma, and what I remember is that not being there in that movie.
You would be correct. Yeah, he. I believe in an interview, he even said something like, while he was making it, the whole time he's like, why did they cast me for this? Like, why didn't they cast Vin Diesel? He would have been great in this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, in this case, it's basically like, it feels like a knockoff Transporter movie. He's just running around St. Petersburg, Russia, getting into trouble. He's framed for murdering somebody. He very rarely knocks people out and changes their and steals their clothes.
Does he at all?
He steals clothes once and then immediately is spotted. Like, that's the opposite of how the game works. At that point, yeah, it's crazy. There was one moment where I'm like, oh man, he's actually going to do what happens in the game all the time. That's he makes a target drink a poison that is normal in the game. It's rat poison, but it's something to make him sick. Target goes to the bathroom. Normally in the game, what happens is that Agent 47, that's the hero's name, Agent 40, that's who you play. Agent 40, in the game, he would normally go up and drown him in the toilet. That's his like signature move. I've done that shit a million times.
This does super sound satisfying. Like a fun, goofy game. This
it's
does sound like a
fun.
Silly, fun, family-friendly game.
It's so great.
The drowning your victim in the toilet game.
Yeah, I mean, we should like screen-to-screen that shit, right? Get the boys watching it. You could watch. You could give me tips on how I can kill people. We'll talk about this after the show.
Boys would love that. Well, one of them would.
So the one time he does poison a guy and follows him into the bathroom, instead of drowning him, he just pulls out some guns and starts blasting dudes in the head. It's so boring. Like, I can watch any movie and see that happen. I don't always get to see somebody get drowned in a toilet. Unless, of course, I'm playing Hitman. And there's also, like, a little bit of a love story in there, which is weird because it's like, this character doesn't love anything. The only thing he loves is changing clothes and, you know, coming up with inventive ways to kill
killing
people.
Killing for money.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to see, like, who Qbert falls in love with. That's crazy. I guess.
Why don't you want to see who Qbert falls in love with?
Well, because I mean, Qbert's not a love story. I mean, I was about to say Pac-Man, but there's a Mrs. Pac-Man, right?
Yeah, but that's his mom.
Well, it's a Ms. Pac-Man, marital status is not made clear by the prefix there.
Uh-huh. I always assumed it was his mom, and she was like, "You don't do it right. Let me show you how to do it."
Yeah.
And also, and
I think you're working through some feelings, Elliot.
Very much so. And I wonder if I'm just surprised you're not interested in who Qbert would fall in love with, because it's like, how would he do it with the nose?
Yeah, well, definitely 100%
with the nose.
You know him and that coily spring snake have experimented
He is one of the few early arcade characters who talks dirty. Yeah. So
I mean, he's like one step away from a dirty like Ralph Bakshi cartoon, right?
Yeah, probably.
So after watching that movie, you know, it was kind of a bummer, but you know what? I was undeterred, so I decided to fire up Hitman Agent 47, the second Hitman movie that is not a sequel. It is kind of a reboot, and it is also not really related to the video games. This case, they ditched Timothy Olyphant. They're like, we don't need America's Cowboy. And they replace him with the actor Rupert Friend, who I remembered from Homeland, I think? I don't know. And this is, again, like, this is more of an action-y movie. In this case, they cast Agent 47, the titular character, as more of like a Terminator-type figure, where for a while you think he's the bad guy, and that Zachary Quinto's the good guy, although I gotta tell you, as soon as I see Zachary Quinto show up, I'm like, he's probably the bad guy, you know?
That's why I stopped watching those Star Trek movies with you, and then also didn't watch The Boys in the Band with you, because I did not need you to just be yelling out, there's the bad guy, there's the villain.
Yeah. Anytime somebody's left
alone... Kirk, watch out for Spock!
Yeah, anytime they're left alone in a room with him, like, watch out, you know, oh, he's doing you dirty. So Zachary Quinto's in it, and early on, Jürgen Prochnow shows up, and you're like, oh, great. Here's, you know, Jürgen Prochnow's getting a book. That's great. Later on, you know what? Big surprise, Kieran Hines shows up. So I was like, I was satisfied with Jürgen Prochnow, but you're giving me Kieran Hines? I am fucking lucky today.
Wait, I just wanted to mention something earlier. You said they try to set up Agent 47 like he's the bad guy. He is the bad guy. People pay him to kill other people. So he is a villain.
Okay,
you're right.
I mean, if you want to go by your conventional, you know, religious morality where killing people is bad.
I guess when I say bad guy, good guy, we're talking traditional protagonist, antagonist.
I forget sometimes that you are a follower of the Church of Thelema and that do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. And so, you know what? Go with it. Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, in this case, Agent 47 swaps clothes a couple times, thumbs up. He uses a couple of gadgets. That's cool, I guess. He's a little too active.
Does he ever swap clothes with someone who's just really inappropriate for him to swap clothes with? Like
in the video the game Hamburglar, or in the movie?
In the movie, like the Hamburglar or like two kids in a trench coat who are trying to get into a movie or something.
I mean, once again, we're talking about a character that in the first game, you can swap clothes with a male model and then walk the runway before completing your job.
He's like Human Target, you know? He becomes the person.
Yeah, he's great. He's not great in the movie. He flips around a lot, which I don't think... I was reading a Reddit thread earlier on Hitman where they posit the question, can Agent 47 do a flip? And I don't know if he can. I mean, I guess if the role required him to, that would make sense, but I don't know. I've been thinking about it for hours.
Yeah, here's something I want to get back to the clothes, because that's really what piqued my interest.
It's amazing.
What if he needs to sneak in somewhere? The only person who's nearby is Elton John dressed up as Donald Duck. Okay. He knocks out Elton John, doesn't take the whole costume, just the clothing part of the Donald Duck costume. Now he's walking around wearing a sailor cap, sailor jacket, no pants, just no pants, penis hanging out. Is that going to get in the way of his finishing the mission or what?
I mean, I think it depends. You're going to have to make sure that the sentries don't have a little white circle above their head. That indicates that if they had the white circle, that would mean they're on to you or whatever. And then you'd have to be a little more stealthy. But I don't think so. I mean, I think that sounds like a pretty good disguise, right?
I think, especially when he does the Elton John accent and he's like, hello, governor, just going over to me, Piani, gonna play a few songs over there on the barbie. He doesn't know where Elton John's from.
That's fucking incredible. Did you, Ellie, did you just watch Rocket Man?
I just watched Rocket Man, but not the Elton John Rocket Man. It was the, Harlan Williams Rocket Man?
Was that? Yes, that was the, it was indeed Harlan Williams.
So, to be honest, I think Hitman Agent 47, despite having no Timothy Olyphant, turned out to be a better movie. But was it as good? Was it really the Hitman experience I was looking for? No. Should I have spent my time just playing more Hitman? Probably. But then I wouldn't have had all these great stories to tell you guys.
Yeah. Well, you have these stories of the expanded Hitmaniverse.
You can check in later. I guess next week we'll be doing me doing the exact same thing, but for Mortal Kombat, in honor of the Mortal Kombat movie coming out.
I mean, there's no promise of that. We actually have a normal episode coming up.
My episode sounds better than normal.
So this would be you telling us about the game Mortal Kombat and then the old Mortal Kombat movie? Is that what you're offering here?
I mean, most likely what I would do is I would be telling you the entire story from the story mode of Mortal Kombat 9, which is the best of the Mortal Kombat okay. series.
Is that the one with Freddy in it?
Freddy, he is a DLC character in Mortal Kombat 9, but he's not in the story mode. I mean, he doesn't fit into the universe. He's just there for battles.
How could he fit into the universe full of cyborgs and four-armed monster men? How would Freddy fit into that?
Actually, a pretty good argument. Ed Boon is probably going to come, finish me.
Now, I will say, in the old Mortal Kombat movie, I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theaters as a young person, as a teenager. And I remember thinking that Goro, who is a four-armed giant monster man, was introduced with very little fanfare. He was kind of introduced as if it was nothing special.
That's actually
it was like Gilligan's Island. It's like, and the rest. Wait, that guy's four arms.
But yeah, thanks so much for letting me talk about my new favorite passion, Hitman. And I guess go to see the Hitman Wife's Bodyguard trailer on YouTube. They're not sponsoring us this week, right?
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Is that a Peter Greenaway movie? The Hitman, his wife, her bodyguard, and some other people?
Man, I guess I have the wrong audience. You guys aren't super into like cool Hollywood stuff, huh? You're not on...
No, that's true. I'm not into cool Hollywood stuff in general. all right. I think that you're saying that this is the end of the Flophouse, though. Not the
Flophouse podcast. See you guys
not
later.
The series as not the entity.
The
just
police are here
episode.
To take me away.
Stuart only has room in his life for one thing, and that's the Hitman video game. He doesn't have time for a podcast.
All right.
Thanks so much to our network, Maximum Fun. If you like our show and this episode for some reason, there's probably other better shows on their network. Thank you to Jordan Cowling, our producer, for editing this garbage into something listenable. Thank you to my co-host, Dan Elliott. You've been with me through thick and thin, and you know what? It's only going to get worse from here, you know?
Wait, are we getting married, or did you win an award, or are you dying? What's happening? I don't understand.
I said the police are here. They're taking me away. I have 10 seconds left.
Oh, that's right. That's right. To the funny farmer, life is sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been, for the Flophouse, I've been Stuart Wellington.
I've been Dan McCoy.
I am very confused, but I'm also Elliot Kalin.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.